You are now listening to Backstage Pass Podcast, hosted by Hannah Tridwell and brought to you by Toman.
The Backstage Pass Podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to the iconic sound engineer, Lynice Bent, about her incredible career and the importance of analog. Hello, Lynice Bent. How are you?
I'm well, Hannah. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's early there, I know. So you are an amazing audio engineer. You've worked with Blondie. You've worked on records from Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions that are really stupid. Are you ready?
Take it away. Yeah, there are no stupid questions in my world.
I feel almost embarrassed about these questions because you're such an icon to so many people, but we'll roll with it. It's fine. Analog or digital?
Both. For different things. One of them is certainly more prominent now than the other. However, I still think it's very important for up-and-coming engineers to have the analog tools in as a part of their skill set. I do, of course, you know, being of a certain age and coming from a certain era. However, I still love recording to analog tape, and I just did. I'm going to do a shameless plug right now.
Do it, please.
This record right here, Primal Kings.
That's the all analog one, right?
All analog, yes. And it's such a great record. I mean, the artwork, the liner notes, the credits.
Nice.
I mean, the attention to detail and the love and the joy and fun and musicianship that went into this record. It wasn't analog for the sake of analog. It was, this is a very cool rock, blues, indie band, and they all played together, you know, and we recorded all in the same room, and just the energy.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, drums, bass,
it
guitar.
It was tracked live.
Yeah. And nice. There are overdubs, you know, there's some background vocals. I'm singing on a couple things. So we had some percussion and some dobro. It was perfect for the analog process because tape, it has what's called tape compression and the signal-to-noise ratio because they were, you know, there were a lot of dynamics in it and all, and the tape kind of compresses it naturally, and that's something you really want to use without oversaturating. You know, it's an acquired skill, one that I acquired quite some time ago. And so that's why I get to do it now, because when people want that, there aren't that many people out there who still know how to do it and still love doing it. You know, a sample rate of 1-to-1, there's no offs in analog. Mm-hmm. And so every single harmonic, every single, you know, everything's there. The vibe is there. That's why there's a vibe. And and digital has come so far. The filters are good and things, and the sample rates are better, but there's still information missing. I'm sorry. It just didn't. If there's an off, that means something didn't get picked up. And, you know, when it's all ons and offs, no matter how high the sample rate is. And of course it's so much better, like I said, and it's a sound that people really like. However, there is something to capturing a performance with everything represented, everything there. It's just a different thing. That's why people listen to old vinyl and they have an emotional response.
It's interesting to see how a lot of the digital stuff is trying to add in the feel and the vibe.
Yes.
And the soul of tape.
Yeah, well, because there's something to that. There really is a tape vibe. And so I'm fortunate that I still get to do it. Because the fun part is you have to be prepared. You can't do a gazillion takes. You only have 24 tracks, let's say. And so you have to commit.
That's scary.
I know. And it's totally destructive audio. I mean, that's the fun part. I mean, it's a rush.
That's the magic of it as well, though, isn't it? Because if you get that take, you capture that one moment in time, that's something that is just amazing.
Exactly. That performance. And it may not be perfect, but this is something I learned. You don't want it perfect, you want it right. You know, my job as that kind of producer engineer is to capture their performance, inspire the performance and capture the performance. And I'm also an artist. It's the artistry. It's the instrument I play. It's, you know, that console and those microphones and all the gizmos and widgets. That's my instrument. And and the room. Oh, God, that makes such a difference. And ambiences and all these different things are the palette that I paint with. We're artists.
So I know we've kind of already answered this question, but I was going to say night owl or early bird.
Oh, you know, I worked nights for so many years.
Yeah, either or is great. But you can't do both, I guess, can you?
Well, you got to sleep sometime. Here I made my first platinum album. And I got stomach cancer. And I had to quit. get well. Found out I had it a few albums before this. I was working with the legendary Mike Chapman producer. I was his engineer, and he just, we'd finish a record on a Friday, and Monday was, in rehearsals with somebody else, and we just, banged them out. And it was a lot of work and a lot of imbalance in my life. I was so sick by the time of this that God bless Debbie Harry. She was macrobiotic. So she, would bring me, brown rice and steamed veggies and all these things to help me. And then the day after I mastered this record, I drove down to Mexico to a cancer clinic, and they said, quit your job or die. And it was like, okay. So here's my trajectory going, I can laugh about it now, looking back on it. And fortunately, I was in a position where I could afford to take that time off and go holistically and get well. So I didn't work for several years, because of that. And, because a lot of people wonder, well, what happened to Lanice? That's what happened. I never told anybody before because I just couldn't talk about it for some reason. I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. Now I think it's really important to talk about it. So other people don't.
Yeah, because that's life, isn't it?
Well, it was all stress related and having an imbalanced life. And and the universe kind of interceded and said, if you're not smart enough to take care of yourself, I'm going to, help you out with this.
What is your track of the week?
Go under primalkings.com and go under the album. And of course, we have digital versions of all the mixes. You can hear the whole record for free. And it's really good. I love the digital versions as much as I love the analog versions. Done, cut by the iconic Ron McMaster over at Capitol.
It must be good if you're saying that as well, that you love the digital as much as the analog. Yeah.
Well, it's because I have to say it was recorded correctly, and that makes a huge difference. The mastering process was just a joy on both sides. I encourage people, if they can, I know everybody masters their own stuff now, and that's the direction it's going in, and with machine learning and AI and everything like that, I will be obsolete in mere moments. In the meantime, if it's possible, I recommend at least having somebody else master your music that you've been working on. And The reason for that is you get too close to it. You can't tell what a hit record sounds like. You need fresh ears. You need somebody who this is all they do is make hit records. Yeah. The mastering is the last phase where it just, you hear it evolve from the mixes and from all the things that you've done. And you hear it turn into a record, and it's such a wonderful experience for me and closure. I can let it go now because it's the last, you know, it's the last thing. You have to commit and then you have to let it go. I'm already thinking about mastering when I'm when I'm cutting the basic tracks. From the very beginning, I already know how I want to approach this, so I know what the mastering engineer, what I expect them to do with it and give them tracks that they can do that thing. There's some great mastering engineers out there, but somebody else's ears to take it and turn it into that record.
I definitely agree. You've had so much amazing experience as well. What's the best lesson that you've learned in your career so far?
To keep learning. And to keep learning and to also, again, it's really important that you enjoy this. This isn't like any other business. Probably the only industry or within the entertainment world where you're using both sides of your brain. It's engineering and it's creating. So your left and right brain, and playing a musical instrument definitely does that. Use both sides of the brain. Nothing else does. And so you have to have joy to do this and have balance in your life and have a real passion for this because you deserve that and the band deserves it or the artist deserves it or the project deserves it. And life's too short to work on things that make you miserable. We've all heard that story of when John Lennon was 5 years old and his teacher told them, asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, happy. And she said, you didn't understand the question. And I think his answer was, well, you don't understand my answer. But it's true. That's what you want to achieve. And so if you're in a position, if you're doing something and it doesn't make you happy, you go ahead and go do something else.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for being such a great guest on this podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Hannah. I've just had a blast. You're wonderful.
It's been so great to talk to you. And I'm so grateful that you've been talking to me today. So thank you.
Well, thank you again for having me. I love to share my knowledge and my joy and my experiences and pass it on to others if I can. So thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.